Would the rest of you join me in your Bibles? So let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. If you're visiting, we have been going through 1 Samuel, and then we stopped for Advent. So this is the last week away from 1 Samuel. Next week, we'll pick up at 1 Samuel chapter 12. So if you want to kind of catch up, read chapters 1 to 11 before next Sunday, and it'll really catch you up to where we are in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel. But for today, we're at Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 18. Actually, we'll go 16 to 20. So Matthew chapter 28, 16 to 20. This is God's holy word. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came, and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's pray and ask for God's blessing on our time. God, as we consider some of your son's parting words before he ascended to glory, we see the significance in the commission that he gave to his disciples, Lord, and we realize that this commission given to them is rightfully to be applied to us. So we pray that you would help us to understand, to embrace this calling to be disciple makers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, do you have any goals, any ambitions or hopes for 2022? Now, obviously, Lord willing, in a matter of a week, we will enter into a new year. I love the idea of a new year. I'm the person that I like a new journal. I like a blank page. I like a blank canvas. The idea of new, not that something special or magical happens from December 31st to January 1st, but there is that sense, is there not, where we can kind of look back at the past and say, all right, the past is in the rear view, and now I kind of got a redo, a clean slate moving forward. So there's just something about that, and that's why resolutions are so popular. I was reading several articles over the course of the week, and some of the main resolutions for 2022 are, let's start guessing what, exercise, losing weight, maybe gaining weight, quit bad habits, less tech, less phone screen time, pursue a passion, learn a new skill, save money, get organized, invest in relationships, mental health. Those are all these goals. And some of you, even now, as I'm saying them, I know some of you have those goals for 2022. This is going to be the year that I finally get in shape. This is the year that we're going to get our house in order. This is the year we're going to save money. This is the year I'm going to learn such and such, how to crochet or whatever the case is. You have these kind of ambitions going into the new year. And I think a lot of times these resolutions are great. It's often good to make changes. Sometimes it's necessary. It's healthy. I am very pro, so please do not hear me wrong when I say this. I am very pro you making resolutions this year. I'm going to be your cheerleader. I will be coming alongside of you, celebrating whatever the case is, as long as it's a God-honoring goal or drive or ambition. Praise the Lord that you're feeling some resolve to do something different in 2022. But here's what I want to do today. I want to challenge us as a church, and I want to challenge us as individuals for a resolution that I'm assuming most, if not everybody here, does not have on their radar. And here's the resolution: that you would make disciple making a priority in 2022. That's the resolution I want all of us to make. Because if you are a follower of Jesus today, young or old, skilled or unskilled, mature or immature, if you're a follower of Jesus, God has called you to be a disciple maker. So let's make that a priority in 2022 as we engage in the Great Commission. If you're taking notes, you picked up one of the study guides, real simple thoughts as we look through this commission to make disciples. First of all, we have a purpose. It's pretty simple, pretty clear. God has given us as followers of Christ a purpose, and that purpose is disciple making. So we're going to look at what that looks like, how we unpack that in our day-to-day life. And then secondly, not only do we have a purpose, we have a promise. That this is something that we're not doing because we came up with the idea. You know, what would be good to do is be a disciple maker. No, it's something that God has decided for us to do. And not only has he decided us to do it, he empowers us to do it. So that's it. We have a purpose. We have a promise. Let's get started as we pick up at verse 18 and we see that we have a purpose. Now, we need to remember context. I say this often. Anytime I preach a book where we're not preaching in the book, it's important that you understand where we are. And we're at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And historically speaking, this is just prior to when Jesus, he's already been resurrected from the dead. He's already appeared to the disciples and everybody. He is appearing to them. He's imparting these words. In the book of Acts, we're going to see him impart some words in the very beginning. And then he ascends to glory. And then he's going to one day come back. So that's kind of the context. So we need to start realizing if these are some of his last words, they probably carry some magnitude. They probably carry some significance of why he's saying what he's saying. And as we look at what he commissions them to do, it's important for us to take note. Well, with this purpose, first thing I want us to see in verse 18 is disciple making is active. Did you hear that? Disciple making is active. Listen to what he says. He says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And then notice in verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Disciple making requires effort. Notice he doesn't say, "Sit there and make disciples of all nations." Stay there, relax and make disciples of all nations. What does he say? He says, "Go," and it's an imperative. It's the idea of action, of movement. Disciple making requires intentional effort on our part. And you and I, we often love to have things done where it does not require effort. Even some of those resolutions we talked about. I mean, how many contraptions are out there? You do not have to exercise or eat healthy and you can lose weight. Who here would sign up for that if it was real? Raise your hand. Everybody who's trying to lose weight. I mean, we love that. One of the things we have not, because my wife helps me show restraint with our finances, I have wanted to get an iRobot Roomba. If you know what that is, it is a little small sweeper that it does it by itself. Now, I don't think it will clean up after my kids and then do it, so I don't think it'll be functioning when there's tons of stuff in the way, but it's the idea. I have a person in our neighborhood that has a version of it for their lawn. So it's creepy. You drive by and there's the lawnmower at like 7 in the morning just going up and down the yard, nobody around. But it's appealing. You know, we love that. We like the iRoomba. We like the MOA. I don't even know what it's called. It's got a name because there is one. I don't think the person invented it or created it. But here's the problem. I think when we think about disciple making, is best case scenario, we view the church as the iRoomba. You know, the church I go to, you know, the paid people, the pastors and some of the main volunteer staff, those are the ones that are engaged in disciple making, but I don't want to be involved. I don't want to have to do anything. Friends, there is no I disciple maker. God has ordained for you to be the instruments. Isaiah 52:7. And Paul ends up later quoting it, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul calls us what? Ambassadors of Christ. pleading on the behalf of God, be reconciled to God. But it requires effort. Well, I have to ask us, as we look back at 2021, as we look ahead towards 2022, let's be brutally honest. This is between you and the Lord. So don't look at the person next to you. What effort have you and are you putting forth in disciple making? So I think the sad reality, and this is not an indictment upon you as much as even an indictment on leadership, that we don't do a better job of encouraging and challenging in this regard, is that the vast majority of Christians put little to no effort in disciple making. It is what it is. Life is busy. Life is distracting. There's so much going on. It's just so easy to kind of leave that for the professionals. And that should not be the case. It's going to require effort. But also, we need to realize the extent of disciple making. Notice what he says, though. It's not just simply go and make disciples. He says, make disciples of what? All nations. Acts 1:8, the other parting words of Jesus. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God does not simply want us to put forth some effort in disciple making. He wants to extend the reach of our disciple making. That means we go near and far. Jerusalem was in town, to the ends of the earth was missions. You understand? And then everywhere in between. And I think part of the effort requiring that God is calling us to with regards to disciple making is for you and I reaching out to people that look different than us, who think different than us, who have different histories. I would love for God in his grace and his providence for Covenant to look different. And what I mean by that is when we get to heaven, we're going to be amongst every tribe and tongue and nation. And when I look out at our church, we have a few people from different tribes and tongues and nations. But it's nowhere near what heaven's going to be like. And I think part of that comes with us getting out of our comfort zone and reaching out to this world that we are in with the gospel. Notice what it says. It's going to be, it's spreading. You'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations. Every year we have fires that consume out west and they take thousands of acres. And don't think of it in a destructive sense, but that is what the gospel is supposed to do. That the gospel takes root into a community and it spreads through a neighborhood and then it spreads from the next neighborhood. And that is what we are called to do. God's kingdom was going to expand much further than Israel. And that's where the disciples were kind of confused. R. Kent Hughes, I think he makes a valid point. There can be no burden for distant, unreached people without a burden for unreached neighbors. Did you hear that? Because I think sometimes it sounds very romantic and really cool. I mean, we do. We're actively involved in ministry to China. We're involved in ministry to India and those things. But what about your neighbor who lives next to you that doesn't know Christ? What about the people across town that don't know Christ? Or are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Is mission for you too small, too local, and too often done by those that you pay to do it? So we see disciple making is active, but it's also aiming. Listen to what he goes on and says. He says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So I want us to see the clarity and the goal. The goal is to make disciples. And I think it's important for us to make that distinction. It's not to make conversions. A disciple will be converted, okay? But the focus, the goal is not making conversions. Who here has ever played the game Hungry Hippo? Raise your hand. Hungry Hippo. Okay, children, there was a day when we had board games. It seems like we used a phone where you had to dial and it was attached to the wall. Well, Hungry Hippo, the game would have all the little balls in the middle, and there'd be four hippos all going for the same thing. And once the balls got in there, the goal was to get your hippo's mouth out there. And the goal, you didn't care. There was no real distinction. You just wanted to get as many of the balls in the mouth of your hippo to win. And I think sometimes when we hear this call, we hear this commission to go and make disciples, what we hear God saying is get as many people as humanly possible to pray a prayer so that they're going to heaven. That's what we hear. So we will go out of our way. We might go down the street, you know, I was actively involved in College Campus Crusade for Christ. We had the four spiritual laws, and it was a gospel track. And we'd go through it, and, you know, you'd go through, and the person would pray, and like, all right, boom, another ball in the hippo's mouth. And we'd just keep going on. And that, friends, we're missing the point of what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying make converts. He's saying make disciples. And you know what a disciple is? It's a pupil, it's a learner, it's somebody who knows and applies, whose heart and mind have been enriched through the gospel. And that is God's desire. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 4:13. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this requires not just effort, it requires time, it requires patience, it requires due diligence. It's going to involve lots of mistakes. We often say at Covenant with Leadership, we want to seek the lost but also guide the saved. And both goals, ambitions are exhausting, are filled with mistakes, messiness, imperfect, the ebb and flow of life. But that's what we're striving for here at Covenant. I want people to come to know Christ, and then I want them to grow in Christ, because that is what God has called me to do. That is what God is going to hold me and the other elders accountable to do. That's what we're going to stand before God and be given an account for your guys' souls. So in that regard, that is what we're aiming. Well, are you aiming for disciple making? Parents, I want to encourage you. You get to be the chief disciple makers in your family. Especially when you have children who are still at home. So even this next year, are you striving for that? Don't be content simply that your child can win a Bible trivia game and they know some main stories and, hey, we bring them to church every week. Like, we want to see our children grow in Christ. Every year I want to see my kid not only know the Bible better but live more like Jesus because of their faith. Not only the clarity in the goal, the concern in the goal is another aspect of disciple making. Notice what it says. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You know what a disciple looks like? They're not, please don't hear this wrongly. They're not perfect, but they're obedient to the word of God. John 1:12, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, or the will of man, but born of God. And a person who is born of God, a natural result in the maturity of that person will be obedience to God. That's just what happens. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Every, you know, having six kids, I'm very familiar going to the doctor. And one of the things we do with each child is every year we have to take them for a wellness checkup. And what they do is they weigh them, they measure their height, all these different things, check their eyes, just everything. And the point is, between year one, year two, year three, year four, is there should be a steady growth and maturity going on. And I think one of the greatest ways we see maturity in the life of a Christian is seeing greater obedience to his word. Like I said, we're not talking perfect. You're going to be a disobedient. So the most mature person, whoever that is in this room today, is consistently disobedient to God's word and calling. That is reality. But there's a difference between disobedience and growth and maturity and just a willful rebellion. And that's the goal of disciple making. And not only just the goal of obedience, it's following the example of Christ. Matthew, remember, this is, so we're at the end of Matthew 28. Matthew 4:19, Jesus calls his disciples and he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, think of obedience to that call. What does that mean for you and I? That we fish. That we're out there fishing for Jesus. And I'm not talking about literal fishing, but we're pursuing others to make them fishers of men, that they in two would be following Jesus. How do we know how to follow but through his word? That's why we preach books in the Bible. I want you guys to be as biblically literate as possible. That's why I would encourage you this year to commit to some kind of a devotional life, both as individuals, as family. You constantly need to put yourself before the word. If you're not putting yourself before the word, you will not know what it means to be obedient to the word. And in turn, what we want to see happening is disciples who are making disciples who are making disciples. I'm grateful that we've grown over the last year and a half as a church, but transfer growth is not our end game goal at Covenant. I think a lot of people have left churches that were in healthy situations, and I'm grateful that God providentially has brought you our way, but the end game goal is not transfer growth. I want to see gospel growth. I want to see people today who have not stepped foot in a church, who do not know the hope of Jesus, who begin to come to Covenant because we have been disciple-making and we've sought them and reached out. Are you living a life of obedience? Are you calling others to such a life? So that's the purpose. It's active and aiming disciple-making where we're going and growing in Christ. But here's the good news. We have a promise, and it's rooted in Jesus. We're not doing it our own volition or power. With the promise, we see that Jesus is the basis for our disciple making. It starts right up there at verse 17. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Notice, first of all, the presupposition. They're worshiping him. And the reason I'm drawing attention to that is it's worship of Jesus is the baseline, is the foundation for this calling. It's the overflow of gratitude and awe and wonder of Jesus that God then gives them a commission to make disciples of Jesus. It's the context of worship that's important. Because if we do not see that, if we do not hear that, we'll see disciple-making as something that is drudgery rather than delight. One of my least favorite homeowner responsibilities is raking the leaves. Can I get an amen? We live where our backyard is right along a farm, like cornfield or wheat field, whatever it is in a particular year, they rotate. And so it gets really windy, so I get leaves that just blow in our yard. We'll clean them. But the worst part of all my house is we have those rocks in the front, like landscaping, and they cling like Velcro to the leaves. And like my kids, like we'll go out there and we'll spend time and I feel like we make such little dents to it. And it's just, and it's at no point am I Mary Poppins out there singing a song while I'm doing it grumbling and complaining. I'm like, we're taking the rocks out and then it'll just blow everything out. We're concreting this next year. We're just gonna have concrete all the way up to the house. It'll be way easier. And I think here's what happens when we talk about disciple making, if we're being brutally honest, it often feels like a duty rather than a delight. It's like, I know I should be involved in this. We kind of guilt ourselves, we shame ourselves, but man, it takes effort. It might not go well. And we're missing the point. And I think the point is our hearts aren't in it. Because our hearts aren't focused on what should be the basis for it, and that's Jesus. Our hearts are focused on ourselves, our own drive, our own ambition, our own agenda, and then Jesus saying, hey, make disciples like of me, it becomes just like, oh, I have to rake the leaves. But listen to Paul, 1 Corinthians 9:16. I think this is a heart checkup for us. He says, if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's 1 Corinthians 9:16. Do you feel that way? Do you understand how much of a privilege it is that we get to be disciple makers. It's a privilege. Are you viewing disciple making as a duty or as a delight? Because not only is it, we see this presupposition, it's his prerogative. Notice what he goes on and says. It says, all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Notice whose authority is the basis for the command. It's Jesus. And when it says in heaven and on earth, it's not limiting Jesus' authority to heaven and earth. It's the idea of this all-encompassing. Where does Jesus not have authority? Nowhere. He has authority everywhere. Also cannot tie to this, it's not optional to be a disciple maker. Do you understand that? When he speaks of his authority, it comes with it authority over you. When he tells you to be a disciple maker, it is not something that we get to decide upon. Do you understand? It's not something where you and I can, good suggestion, Jesus, not really my thing, not something I really want to be involved in. No, it's a command. Think of it. You've worked at places where the buck stops with, you understand what I'm saying when I say that? My one friend's having some issues with his cell phone. He's continuing to climb until he finds the buck stopping with somebody so they can fix the problem. You understand? Well, the buck stops with Jesus, and Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples. Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. You see, we answer to him. It's his wisdom that he's chosen to use us in his kingdom being advanced. We are representing the sovereign one. It's his call. So our lack of disciple making is ultimately, and this is not what we want to hear today, the day after Christmas, it's sin in our life. It's disobedience. It's us saying it's a good idea, but it's my prerogative. And that's not true. We are not only ambassadors of Christ, we are ultimately under the rule and reign. We are bondservants of Christ. And he has called us to disciple making, so therefore we disciple make. Do you act like this is optional? Are you content in your disobedience? Because we see he's not only the basis in our disciple making, he is the blessing in our disciple making. And then go down to verse 20 with me, and he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Two thoughts with regards to his presence. First of all, it's where we find our power. Here's the key. This is not meant to be done in our own strength. I don't remember exactly when, but prior to our two vans, we had a Honda Civic. And one time, somebody was in the snow, and I decided to pull out the car with my Honda Civic. Bad decision. Really bad decision. Ripped off part of my bumper, whatever the tail, yeah, it was bad. I was proud of how well I tied that it actually pulled off the bumper, that I made such a good knot, but it was stupid. Like, and then somebody came along with a truck. If you have Hemis, I still don't even know what a Hemi is, but if you have Hemis and things like that, they're much better at pulling than a little Honda Civic. And I think what we fail to appreciate when we talk about disciple making is so much of our disciple making is done like me pulling a Honda Civic, pulling something out of the snow. We do it in our own strength. We come up with like these really clever ideas, and we do all this stuff, and we try so hard, and we don't see much out of it. And we're like, well, that didn't work. I think part of the problem, friends, is we're doing it in our own strength. Disciple making is done in the power of Christ. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ephesians 1:13, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. God has not set you and I up for failure. I don't care how big the church is, how small the church is. If they are filled with followers of Jesus Christ who are walking by God's Spirit, they are empowered beyond our measure, and they are intimidating as can be to Satan. Because he sees the potential of what they're capable of doing in Christ. And he has equipped us to carry out this mission. Well, do you downplay the power at hand, too low of expectations? Are you relying on him? Is it evident through prayer? Are you leaning on him? I think it's important for us as a church that we would be doing that. That we would be a people who are leaning on his power. That we would be trying great things for God, knowing that they're doomed for failure unless the Lord be in them. But not only do we have his power, we have his presence. Listen to what it says. I am with you always to the end of the age. This is where the calling gets real. Here's where the calling is encouraging. I have one of Josh's closest friends. His dad, additional job that he's been doing is they've been doing a lot of renovations. And their goal is to eventually work himself out of his current job and just be able to do that. And his son, the son I'm speaking of specifically, is 13 years old, Owen. And Owen and dad will consistently be replacing light fixtures and putting in flooring and replacing. It's just fun. Like, and they'll post pictures online and you'll see dad and son just in the midst of it, just working alongside. And it's what's really encouraging is you see Owen and it's like he's having the best of times. Like doing this like hard work, but he gets to work alongside of his dad. He's learning all these skills and it's exciting. And what Jesus is promising here, friends, is far greater than that. When you and I are looking at disciple making as a duty, as something difficult and rigorous, we're failing to appreciate we're not doing it on our own. He's alongside. We're in that kitchen replacing the counter with him. We're in the bathroom putting those tiles in with him. He is with us. And how long is he with us? To the end. So like he gets excited, Jesus gets excited about disciple making with you because he gets to do it with you. And I think it would radically impact how you and I view disciple making if we really let this theology and teaching come to grips in our heart and mind. Where we stop looking as this obligation and duty, but we start looking at, man, I get to work alongside of my Savior and he's going to do the work with me. Psalm 23:4, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They knew Jesus could calm the storm, and they knew Jesus could change a heart. Does his presence calm you? Does this excite you? It's one of the things that it really did for me. It's just it's making me reevaluate how I view ministry. How often I'm doing it in my own strength. I'm failing to appreciate that I get to do it alongside of my Savior. What if you knew you were dying and you wanted to impart some final words to those closest to you? Because sometimes that happens. I've seen people who have written, maybe recorded message to those they were leaving behind, their children, their spouse, friends, family members. What if you had the opportunity to say you're imparting words to your loved ones before you left this world? What would you tell them? What advice or guidance would you give them? How would you tell them how much you love them? What would be your final message? Think of this. The eternal Son of God recorded words to the disciples. This and the beginning of Acts are the words that he chose. It shows the importance of this commission. It's a reminder to you and I of what our lives are to be all about. So here's our application with regards to this commission. First of all, as individuals, I want to encourage each of us to focus our lives on making disciples. And what I want you to do with this, though, because I know if I'm not specific, I'll get enough rah-rah from you all. You'll be like, all right. Disciple making 2022. Let's do this. And then it's just going to kind of drift off into the heir and never. So I want you to be specific. First of all, parents, I want you to commit to disciple making, to give a clear process on how you're going to try to see some disciple making with your kids. Maybe that means for the first time as a family, you're going to start doing a family devotional. And maybe you don't even get to do it every night because of schedule, but at least a few times a week, we're going to sit down, we're going to read the Bible together, we're going to pray, and we're going to be involved. Dads, maybe that means you're going to periodically take your children out individually and just see, check their soul, where they're going. I want you to be specific on this. But not just parents, I want you to look back, kind of think through on individual disciple making. Pick a neighbor. Pick a neighbor that you are going to pursue. And I'm not talking about pursue to come to covenant, but you're going to pursue to hopefully by God's providence become a believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a coworker. I want you to pick a name today. And over the course of the next year, pray. And I'm going to periodically bring up the name. I won't know what the name is, but you'll know I knew that I had challenged you on this. But be thinking about it near, far. This is God's intent for you individually. And like I said, this is not a church responsibility. It's you as individuals, you need to be disciple makers. But then as a church, application-wise, we are going to try to place a greater attention on seeking the lost, provide better training, evangelistic training, take greater advantage. I don't think we seize the moment of the fact that we're at the Y, and the YMCA has people coming here 6 to 7 days a week. And it's an open door for us to live out the gospel mission here. So we're going to be more intentional this next year. Look for other opportunities with some of our other partners, such as Water for Ishmael, The Nest, Mosaic. We want to be much more active. And you know another way that this can happen is God could give you guys ideas that we in turn embrace as a congregation. So don't limit it to what we already are doing. Maybe God's going to lay something in your heart for us to be better disciple makers. Because here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. 2 Timothy 4:7. This is my hope for each and every one of us. We have fought the good fight. We have finished the race. We have kept the faith. Now there is in store for us the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to us on that day. And not only to us, but all of those who have longed for his appearing. Let's fight the good fight, friends. Let's pray. God, we come before you right now and we acknowledge that disciple making sometimes just doesn't come naturally or easy for us. There's so many things in our lives that are distracting us, that are getting our attention. And then when we get to this work, it's tedious, it's hard work. We are disappointed often, we get rejected, and it sometimes feels like it would be much simpler if we allow the professionals to do this. But God, in your infinite wisdom and knowledge and discernment, you have called each and every one of us to make disciples. So we pray. We pray for 2022 that this would be a year of change in our lives as individuals and as a congregation, that we would be truly committed to disciple making. We pray that you would allow us to bear much fruit so you get all the glory. And we pray that your kingdom would grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?